بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so continuing with where we left off from our study of the 40 ahadith of Imam al-Nawawi, currently we at hadith number 35, and we reached the part where the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا, and be slaves of Allah as brothers. المسلم أخو المسلم, the Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يكذبه ولا يحقره, he doesn't oppress him, he doesn't betray him, he doesn't lie to him, and he doesn't look down upon him. At-taqwa ha-huna, taqwa is here. وَيُشِيرُ إِلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ, and the messenger pointed to his chest 3 times. بِحَسْبِ امْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْقِرْ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ, it is enough of an evil for a person that he looks down, that he mocks his Muslim brother. كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه, all of the Muslim upon the Muslim is haram, his blood, his wealth, and his honor. So concerning this, and this is essentially where Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abbad's second part to the explanation begins, because we said that the explanation is divided into 4 parts. So we've covered the first part. As for the second part, then in this the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he prohibited us from several things, because these are things that negate the rights of a Muslim. From them is that it's prohibited us to transgress against the Muslim, harming him, whether it's physically or otherwise. The second matter that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited is betraying the Muslim. How do you betray him? The one that is betraying the Muslim, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he said, وَلَا يَخْذُلُهُ عِنْدَ حَاجَتِهِ إِلَىٰ نُصْرَتِهِ وَهُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْصُرَهُ, the person betrays his Muslim brother when he doesn't help him whenever that Muslim needs his help and you're able to help him. The Muslim, he's in a situation where he needs your help, he needs your assistance. You're able to help him, you're able to assist him, it's within your ability, it's not going to harm you, it's not going to cost you anything. Yet in spite of that, you abandon him, you don't aid him, you don't help him, you don't assist him. This is khadran. This is betrayal. وَلَا يَكْذِبُهُ, and he doesn't lie to him. He doesn't lie to his Muslim brother. He doesn't inform him with speech that is untrue. وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ, and he doesn't make ihtiqar of him. He doesn't look down upon him. He doesn't mock him. And then the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he highlighted to us how vile it is for a person to make ihtiqar of his Muslim brother. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, بِحَسْبِ امْرِئٍ مِّنَ الشَّرِّ أَنْ يَحْقِرَ أَخَاهُ الْمُسْلِمِ, it is enough of an evil of a person that he looks down upon his Muslim brother. That is enough of an evil of a person that he merely looks down upon his Muslim brother. If it is the case that a person is characterized with all forms of good, there is no negative quality found in him. Everything about him is good, virtuous, righteous. However, there is one characteristic that is vile, one characteristic that is wrong, incorrect. The characteristic of looking down upon his Muslim brother, and that is enough to say that he is an evil person. That is enough for him to be considered an evil person, just by him looking down upon his Muslim brother. Whether it's looking down upon him because of his race, his ethnic background, because at the end of the day, all of us, our origin is the same. Our origin is one. As Allah Jalla wa Ala, He said, Alam nakhluqhu min ma'in mahin. Did we not create him from despised fluid? All of us, we come from that despised fluid. And therefore, how can we look down upon each other just because of one coming from one ethnic background and the other coming from another? Is it the case that a person looks down upon someone because of his knowledge, because of his understanding, because of his reason, his intellect? Then Allah Jalla wa Ala, He has said, وَفَوْقَ كُلِّ ذِي عِلْمٍ عَلِيمٍ. There is above every single possessor of knowledge someone else that has more knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless of how much knowledge you may have, regardless of how much understanding you may have, regardless of how intelligent you may be, there is someone that is much more knowledgeable than you. Therefore, humble yourself. Regardless of whatever a person may have, strength that he may have, physical strength, he looks down upon others because so-and-so is such a weakling. Look at him. So he looks down upon other people because of his physical strength, yet even a camel, he is more stronger than you. Therefore, regardless of a reason, regardless of the cause behind a Muslim looking down upon his other Muslim, there is no basis for it. There is no foundation for it. And that is enough of an evil for that person that he looks down upon his Muslim brother. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, if you notice, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, he is indicating to something. Now the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam prohibits us from mocking and looking down upon the Muslim brother. And then the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam highlights how despicable and vile and repugnant and ugly a sin and evil a sin it is to look down upon your Muslim brother. But then between the two, between the prohibition and between the highlighting of its evilness, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says something in between. What does he say? He said, "At-taqwa hahuna," wa yushiru ila sadrihi thalath marrat. He said, "Piety is here," and he pointed to his chest three times. Meaning, the thing that carries weight, the thing that has actual value, is piety, is taqwa, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that taqwa, its location is in the heart. And thus perhaps, the one that you look down upon, the one that you mock, the one that you consider to be insignificant, perhaps that person has a heart that is filled with taqwa. And perhaps the one who is mocking, the one who is looking down, perhaps his heart is in contrast to that. His heart is the opposite of that. He is a person that is filled with sins and transgression. The thing that bears weight, the thing that is given consideration, it is the heart. Because that is the location of taqwa. And if it is the case that taqwa is in the heart, then no doubt it will manifest itself upon the tongue and upon the limbs. And therefore Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Abad, as an extension to this point, he says that this statement, the following statement that you may find many people making, whenever they err, whenever they commit a sin, whenever they commit a mistake, that statement that you find people making, when you say to them, don't sin, this sin that you're doing, Allahu Jalla wa Ala is not pleased with it. When you reprimand someone from sinning, then you find some people pointing to their chest and saying, At-taqwa hahuna. They'll say, taqwa is here, my brother. Piety, it's in my chest. Righteousness, it's in my heart. And they are quoting a narration, a statement from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But that is kalamul haq, urida bihil batil. A statement of truth, no doubt. However, falsehood is intended by way of it. Because if taqwa was actually in a person's heart, and taqwa was at that level, then it would end up translating into physical manifestations. Manifestations upon the tongue. Manifestations upon the limb. If piety is in a person's heart, you're going to see some degree of effect of that taqwa taking place on the person's tongue. If piety and righteousness is in a person's heart, then you're gonna find some type of physical manifestation of that taqwa on a person's limbs. And thus the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, we find him saying in that narration that we had studied a while back, أَلَا إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلُحَتْ صَلُحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. That indeed, in the body, there is a morsel of flesh. If it is sound, then the whole body is sound. And if it is corrupt, then the whole body is corrupt. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he likewise said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ صُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Indeed Allah does not look at your physical appearances, and neither at your wealth, but He looks at your hearts and your deeds. Narration recorded by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And it has been reported from the Salaf that they said, لَيْسَ الْإِيمَانِ بِالتَّمَنِّ وَلَا بِالتَّحَلِّ. Iman isn't mere wishing, just wishing that you had Iman. And neither is it merely adorning yourself with external Iman, with externally adorning yourself with righteous deeds, just externally. وَلَكِنْ مَا وَقَرَ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَصَدَّقَتْهُ الْأَعْمَالِ. But rather Iman, it is what settles in the hearts, and then the actions, they attest to it. Therefore this clearly indicates that it is not enough for us to say, piety is in my heart, Iman is in my heart, faith is in my heart, righteousness is in my heart. And that's enough. And I can behave as I want to behave. I can act as and how I please. It doesn't matter if I do good deeds or not. No, that's incorrect. Because if Iman has truly gone into your heart, if taqwa has truly taken residency in your heart, then it will inevitably become manifest in your actions. Your actions will be a testimony to the taqwa that's in your heart. That is the end of part number 2 to Sheikh Abdul Muhsin's explanation. Part number three is concerning the statement of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه. All of the Muslim upon the Muslim is haram, his blood, his wealth, and his honor. And thus from here the Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam is highlighting to us how sacred these three matters are of the Muslim. That his blood, it is haram for you to take, either by killing or by that which is less than that, physically harming him, fighting him. Likewise, transgressing against the Muslim as far as his wealth is concerned, that is haram, either by stealing or by extortion or otherwise. And likewise, the honor of the Muslim is haram for you to violate, either by insulting him or cursing him or backbiting him or tail carrying concerning him or anything besides that. And the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he's emphasized this matter. He's emphasized how sacred these three things are. The blood of a Muslim, the wealth of a Muslim, the honor of a Muslim. He emphasized this matter in his farewell pilgrimage. And he compared them. He compared the hurma of the Muslim, the sanctity of the blood of the Muslim and the wealth of the Muslim and the honor of the Muslim, he compared it to the sanctity and the sacredness of the time and the place that he was in and at the farewell pilgrimage. He was at the plains of Arafat on the day of Arafah in the month of Dhul Hijjah. Sacred place. Sacred time. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa a'radakum alaykum haram ka hurmati yawmikum hadha fi shahrikum hadha fi baladikum hadha. Indeed, your wealth, indeed your blood and your wealth and your honor is haram upon you. Haram for others to take, haram for you to take these things and transgress against others concerning these things. It is haram just like the hurma of this day, just like the sanctity of this day, the sacredness of this day, in the sanctity and the sacredness of this month of yours, in this land of yours, in this place of yours, yani. So this clearly indicates how sanctified the Muslim's blood and the Muslim's wealth and the Muslim's honor even is, to such an extent that it was compared to Yawm Arafah on the day of Arafah. That there is the end of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin's third part to his explanation. Now is the fourth part. And the fourth part, as usual, is a summary of the benefits. And the points of benefit that the Shaykh summarizes are 10. So the first point is تحريم التحاسد والتناجش والبيع على بيع أخيه وكذا الشراء على شرائه وكذا كل ما يجلب العداوة والبغضاء بين المسلمين. The first point is the prohibition of having hasad, envy between each other, and the prohibition of at-tanajush, the prohibition of artificially inflating the prices, and the prohibition of entering upon the transaction of your Muslim brother, or entering upon the purchase of your Muslim brother, and likewise the prohibition of everything that can bring about hatred between the Muslimin. Part number two. In this hadith there is a prohibition concerning pursuing the doorways to hatred. Those things that will lead to us hating each other, and thus boycotting each other. Number three. In this hadith, there is an encouragement for the Muslims, all of them, to be like brothers, loving one another, being in harmony together. Number four. That the Islamic Brotherhood demands, requires from us, that we impart good towards each other, and that we repel harm from each other. Number five. That it is prohibited for the Muslim to oppress his brother, to forsake his brother, to abandon and forsake and betray his brother, to betray his brother, and to mock and look down upon his brother, and to lie upon his brother. Again, number five, it is prohibited for the Muslim to oppress his brother, to betray his brother, to look down upon his brother, and to lie upon his brother. Number six. In this hadith, there is a clarification about the danger of looking down upon your Muslim brother. And that looking down upon him is enough of an evil from you. Even if there's no other evil in you, that's enough. If you want to know whether you're an evil person, you pray tahajjud, you give sadaqah, you have so many other supererogatory deeds, yet you look down upon your Muslim brothers and sisters, then know that you are a person that has evil inside of him. You're an evil person. Even if you have nothing but khair about you, nothing but goodness about you, but you look down upon your Muslim brother, that is enough of an evil of you. Number seven. أن الميزان في التفاضل بين الناس التقوى. Number seven. Is that the standard via which people's superiority is determined? Is taqwa. The way that it is determined in the eyes of Allah, whether this person is better, or that person is better, this person is superior, or that person is superior, the standard that is used in order to determine that is taqwa, is piety. As Allah Jalla wa Ala, He has said, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. Indeed, the most honorable of you in the eyes of Allah is the one that has the most taqwa. Number eight. At-taqwa mahalluha al-qalb. Taqwa, its location is in the heart. As Allah Jalla wa Ala has said, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَذِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Whoever honors the rituals of Allah, then that is from the taqwa of the hearts. Number nine. أن التقوى في القلوب تظهر آثارها على الجوارح وبصلاح القلوب يصلح بقية الجسد. That the taqwa that is in the heart, its effects become manifest upon the limbs, And by the rectification of one's heart, does the rest of the body become also rectified. And finally, point number 10, تحريم الاعتداء على المسلمين في دمائهم وأموالهم وأعراضهم. The prohibition of transgressing against the Muslims in their wealth, in their blood, sorry, in their wealth and in their honor. So that is the completion of our study of hadith number 35. Next we'll move on to hadith number 36 and we'll cover whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to cover in this remaining time that we have. It is the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من نفس عن مؤمن كربة من كرب الدنيا نفس الله عنه كربة من كرب يوم القيامة. Whoever relieves a believer from suffering, whoever relieves a believer from the sufferings of the dunya, then Allah shall relieve him from the sufferings of يوم القيامة. ومن يسر على معسر يسر الله عليه في الدنيا والآخرة. And whoever makes easy for the person that is in straitened circumstances, the person that is in debt, whoever makes easy for someone that is in straitened circumstances, then Allah shall make easy for him his affairs in this life and in the afterlife. وَمَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. And whoever conceals a Muslim, then Allah shall conceal him in the dunya and the akhirah, the afterlife. وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. And Allah is in the aid of his brother, and Allah is in the aid of his slave rather, as long as the slave is in the aid of his brother. وَمَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And whoever traverses a path seeking in it knowledge, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall make easy for him by way of that his path to paradise, a path to paradise. وَمَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ. And no group of people gather together in a house from the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah, studying it between themselves, except that tranquility descends down upon them. Mercy covers them. The angels surround them, and Allah ends up mentioning them with those that are with him. وَمَنْ بَطَّأَ بِهِ عَمَلُهُ لَمْ يُسْرِعْ بِهِ نَسَبُهُ. And whoever's actions have caused him to slow down, then his lineage is not going to hasten him. His lineage is not going to make him go quicker. The hadith being recorded by Imam Muslim. Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad's explanation to this hadith has been divided into 8 parts. The 8th and final part being a summary of the benefits. So as for the first part, then it is concerning the statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, whoever relieves a believer from a suffering, from the sufferings of the dunya, then Allah shall relieve him from the sufferings of Yawm al-Qiyamah. This here is in reality the principle known as al-jaza bi jins al-amal, that the recompense and the reward is based upon the type of action. You reward someone with something based upon the action that they did. Or as they say, what goes around comes around. So because it is the case that you lifted a suffering from someone else, then as a recompense to that, as a reward to that, Allah will also lift a suffering from you. So that is how they are similar, that they both come from the same jinns. They both come from the same sort, the same type, the same genus. This here is a lifting of suffering that is occurring on your behalf for another Muslim. And then that which Allah does is also a removing of a suffering, a lifting of a suffering. However, the difference likewise that exists between the two is great. Because a person lifting, removing a suffering from someone else in this life, it is something that is azim, it is something that is no doubt great and lofty. However, the suffering, regardless of what we have and what we go through in this life, is nothing in comparison to the sufferings of the day of standing, the sufferings of the day of Al-Qiyamah. As the disbelievers shall say, as Allah Jalla wa Ala, He has said in His book, وقال الكافرون هذا يوم عسر. The disbelievers shall say, this is a day that is عسر. This is a day that is difficult. Allah has described that day in His book when He said, ويوم يفر المرء من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه. On that day a person is going to run away from his mother, from his father, from his wife, his brother, his family, all of them. Why? Because every single person will have an affair that he'll be preoccupied with. On that day, everybody will not be bothered about anyone except himself. Why? Because of how asir, how difficult that day is going to be. Because of how much suffering there's going to be on that day. Because of how much mutual blaming there's going to be on that day. Because of how much loneliness and solitude people will feel on that day. Solitude in that he'll find no one as a helper and a protector for him on that day. So no doubt it's a day that is a day of suffering. Suffering for the disbeliever. Suffering for the evildoer. For the one that is rebellious against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as for the believer, as for the righteous person, then for him it shall be a day of ease. May Allah the Most High make it a day of ease for myself and for my family and for yourselves and your families. It shall be a day of ease for the believer. And from the things that shall be a cause of that day being easy for you is by you removing difficulty, suffering from others. Right now you have a fantastic opportunity to remove suffering from others. No doubt because of the lockdown that most of the countries are either in or are pending to go in, in this current situation of ours of the coronavirus spreading, then you are going to find, no doubt, people that are suffering, people who, especially the elderly, who are going to find it difficult to go out because of the risk of them being affected and catching the virus, or they may need help in certain affairs like shopping, purchasing food for them. They may need the bill paying for them. They usually go to the post office, for example, to have the bill paid for them. Not all elders are up to date with technology and how to pay things online or how to pay things from their phones. So they need the utility bills paying. They need help in that. Right now you can help these people because they're going through perhaps unprecedented difficulty and suffering. Help them, aid them, and assist them. And perhaps as a result of which, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you and assist you and remove difficulty from you in the akhirah, in the afterlife, on the day of standing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He aids us in attaining beneficial knowledge and righteous actions, that He makes our statements and our actions, or rather our actions coincide with our statements, that He makes the Book of Allah proof for us and not against us. And we ask Him the Most High that He removes any suffering from us and He saves us from any suffering on that great day, on that day of standing. إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه وصلى اللهم على نبينا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين